News, Culture, and NPR. And coming up at 10, it's Farm and Country, but it's a special live guest star edition of Farm and Country. Normally, you would hear our new host, Kimberly Izar, but guess what, Valerie Manzi, our special guest star, she is off today because it's her anniversary. So we understand that, and happy anniversary to
Kim.
She and her partner are doing something very Farm and Country for their anniversary, you know.
And what is that?
Camping.
Oh, good.
And not only camping, not like at like a, you know, big camping grounds, out in the woods and on a local farmer's field. Can't get more Farm and Country than that.
Yes.
But we'll have a report from Kim in just a minute here during Farm and Country about invasive species. And we'll get that after we check in with the news.
Wonderful.
And after we hear from you, it's 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Donate during our summer fun drive. Help us meet a $1,000 challenge we have right now from Anonymous in Pennsylvania. Now the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In a post on his social media platform, President Trump says the European Union and Mexico will face a 30% U.S. tariff rate starting August 1st. He says the trade deficit with the EU is too high, and he declared Mexico had not done enough to stop the flow of fentanyl at the border. This week, President Trump said he would raise taxes on many imported goods from Canada to 35%. Canada says it will keep working on a new trade framework. The president of Brazil continues to strike back against President Trump's threat to slap a 50% tariff on all goods coming into the U.S. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
Brazil's current president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, is not backing down. Lula's been giving interviews, flooding social media, and published a long letter in left-leaning major newspapers around the world. In it, Lula laments the decline of multilateralism to solve conflicts. He adds it's imperative to fortify institutions that are, quote, capable of responding to the cries of a humanity that fears for its future. Trump says Brazil will get a 50% tariff because of its prosecution of former President Jair Bolsonaro, who's facing charges of plotting a coup to stay in power. Trump says it's a witch hunt. Friday, Trump said maybe he'll talk with Lula, but added Bolsonaro is, quote, an honest guy. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
In central Texas, 120 people are known dead and more than 170 are still missing following the catastrophic flooding of the Guadalupe River. Search and rescue operations continued late into the week as President Trump and the First Lady surveyed the damage. One local charitable effort, the Kerr County Relief Fund, has raised $30 million so far. Texas Public Radio's Marianne Navarro reports.
The Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country, a charitable endowment that began a relief fund on July 4th, announced the total as worldwide donations continue to pour in. Austin Dixon is CEO.
This is an incredible philanthropic response. Gifts offered in the spirit of compassion and community to support those impacted by the disaster.
The foundation said they would start with $5 million in emergency grants to 20 nonprofit organizations to support families, first responders, and businesses, then move on to disperse funds for cleanup and repair. I'm Maria Navarro in San Antonio.
Investigators in India say it looks like the fuel control switches were turned off in the Air India flight that crashed 1 month ago in Ahmedabad. At least 260 people died. In data heard on the plane's recovered black boxes just before the crash, one pilot was heard asking the other why he cut off the fuel. The other pilot said he didn't. A cutoff would have starved the engine and stopped the thrust. This is NPR.
Hey there, I'm Jason Dole, letting you know that we here at Radio Catskill are facing an uncertain future. You may have heard about the threats to our federal funding, that we may lose funds that were already approved, and it's true. Because of actions in Washington, D.C., we may lose a quarter of our annual budget. Polls show that Americans oppose these cuts by 2-1, but these lawmakers think they know better than local folks like you. They know better than you what you should hear, what you shouldn't, and what constitutes quality news and information. Congressmen, senators, sitting in D.C., making that call for you. And just for the sake of politics, they're messing with a cherished public resource and pushing stations like ours to the point of crisis. Of course, this isn't just a crisis for us, it's a crisis for the whole community. Radio Catskill's a trusted source of emergency alerts, local news, and cultural programming, and that's why it's more important than ever for you to support this station now at WJFFradio.org. That's WJFFradio.org. If we have to make painful cuts, it will have a negative impact on our whole region. It'll affect the many local events, businesses, nonprofit organizations that we support on air. It'll affect our ability to bring local voices on air to voice local concerns. So please, do what you can. Help us out during our summer fund drive. Go to WJFFradio.org, make a donation, and if you can, spread the word. Share the link. Tell your friends and family we need their help too. Donate now at WJFFradio.org. Again, that's WJFFradio.org. Thank you so much. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Indeed, committed to giving job listings increased visibility with relevant candidates through its sponsored jobs feature. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Saturday, 10:06. It's our summer fun drive. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. Quick look at the weather. Thunderstorms, some locally heavy downpours possible, especially during the afternoon hours, high 80. That's not going to stop us for our tiny porch concert because we have a covered porch. So come on in, hear the tunes free. We've got free beer from Catskill Brewery and also some free hot dogs. Kenny's out there already firing up the charcoal briquettes. Valerie Manzi is here in studio with me. Valerie, you heard that urgent message that Jason was relaying to listeners. So
he was so articulate and made such crucial points about the effects of these decisions on our lives, your life, my life.
And while we just want to explain again, like, what is happening here. We're listener supported public radio. The majority of our support comes from listeners like you, especially during times like this, our summer fun drive, right? So we have those three times a year. We get a portion of our funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is appropriated through Congress. That funding for the next 2 years, 26 and 27, was previously approved, in March by this president who signed it into law. So now this president and this administration is going back to Congress and saying, hey, take that money away. They don't deserve it. And they bundled that with the funding for USAID. The House said, oh, sure, go ahead, take it all away. Now it's before the Senate. And this week, coming up early next week, I guess, the Senate will consider it. And so the situation is very urgent. We're asking you to do two things today. One is to donate during our summer fund drive, 845-482-4141, or go to WJFFradio.org. And the other thing we're asking you to do is reach out to your senator and tell them to protect public media. Go to protectmypublicmedia.org. There are links there to call your senator. Calls are a little better than email because they'll answer the phone, and they may not look at the email. If you're in Pennsylvania, you want to reach out to Senator John Fetterman and Senator Dave McCormick. If you're in New York, you want to reach out to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Senator Chuck Schumer. Even if you think that they would help us and be on our side, as Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand have publicly said, it still matters to hear your voice. Your voice counts. And so we want to make sure that they know that you're calling to let them know that you think this funding is important. Because as Jason said, if we have to make some cuts, that's going to limit our ability to bring you the service you've come to rely on. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know we can rely on you to be there for us. You've always been there for us for the last 35 years. You'll continue to be there for the next 35 years. And we also know this, we're not going anywhere, no matter what happens. We just need to hear from you in those two ways. Call your senators, support us today during our summer fun drive, 845-482-4141. And right now, if you support us, your donation will be doubled. We have a $1,000 challenge from Anonymous in Pennsylvania. Yo, what part of that can you do?
Let's get that challenge going.
Yeah.
You know, once one person calls or pledges, the others seem to come through. So it gets the ball rolling, as they say.
You could be the first one to call. Mimi's in the office there. You could talk to Val as well, 845-482-4141. Or if you're getting going to go out the door to go to one of the great events in the area, go to one of the farmers markets, just go online real quick, wjffradio.org. Make a donation there of any amount, whether it's $50, $500, $1,000, whatever that is, it all counts. And it all helps us continue to bring you the local news and culture and the entertainment and information and weather. And the list goes on.
It goes on.
All the stuff you rely on.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Kim, who's going to be talking about invasive species, which is a growing, I'm sorry for the pun, growing problem in our area.
Just wanted
well,
to say
worldwide,
that.
But we're talking about the effects locally.
Yeah, and so this is the time that we normally hear Farming Country, and we're going to hear that clip, that story, actually. It's a nice, long story on the invasive species issue. Kimberly is the new host of Farming Country. The great Rosie Starr decided to take a little step back, and Kim stepped in and has been doing a great job here to continue to bring you all of that look into the rural life here in our area, specifically toward the environment and farming and agriculture and all those things that make up that base and that backbone of this community. And so we'll hear that in just a second. But again, support us at 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org during our summer fun drive. Be the first to donate during this $1,000 challenge. Anonymous from Pennsylvania, thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. And let's get those calls coming in.
845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. You're listening to Radio Catskill. And here is Kimberly Izar and a report on invasive species for Farm and Country.
I'm here with Sarah Coney, Aquatic Invasive Species Manager at the Catskill Center. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Why don't we start with, if you want to tell us more about your work at the Catskill Center to preserve aquatic ecosystems.
Yeah, so the Catskill Center hosts my program, the Catskill Regional Invasive Species Partnership, also called CRISP. We are one of eight partnerships for regional invasive species management in New York that forms a contiguous cover for managing and surveying for aquatic and terrestrial invasive species in New York State. We cover about 3.3 million acres here in the CRISP prism, and I oversee three major watersheds, including the Delaware, the headwaters of the Susquehanna, and some of the tributaries to the Hudson. The Hudson gets its own prism, luckily. And so we really try to focus on early detection and rapid response here in CRISP. The earlier we catch something, the easier it is to eradicate it, and a lot less expensive to get rid of it.
And for someone who may not be as familiar with invasive species and what it actually looks like to detect a species, can you kind of describe what that early detection looks like and what it actually looks like to prevent the spread of it?
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I didn't define actually what an invasive species is. So for it's a plant, an animal, potentially a pathogen or a fungi, they can all be invasive species and they have to be non-native. Doesn't always mean they come from Europe or Asia or Australia. They can come from within North America as well. They also have to either damage the ecosystem, cause economic harm, or pose a threat to human health.
It's summertime here in the Catskills. I'm curious, what are some of the most common types of invasive species this time of year? And why are these kinds of species especially harmful for our waterways and for our lands here?
Yeah, so I mean, right now is peak growth season for most plants. A lot of animals you're seeing, like spotted lanternfly, are all over the place. The issue with invasive species, one of the main issues is how they cause a lot of ecological and economic harm, is that they do not have any natural predators. There aren't any pathogens. There aren't any really any ways to control their population. So they just keep spreading and spreading and spreading until eventually some places they can form a monoculture where they're the only thing that grow. One of the ones that we're dealing with currently that's unfortunately becoming more widespread in the Catskills is water chestnut. It's one I work with a lot, and I have seen some small and even a 20-acre lake where it looks like you're looking at a field because it's just absolutely covered in water chestnut. So that has a lot of negative effects on the ecosystem because that outcompetes our native species. There's no room for our native lilies and other floating plants to grow. It outshades a lot of our submerged aquatic plants, which are very necessary for a healthy ecosystem. They can actually have a lot of effects on abiotic factors, like the water quality. It can decrease water quality. It can change temperature stratification, limits habitat for a lot of our waterfowl. So there are a lot of really negative ecological consequences. And then economically, it is really hard to paddle through water chestnut. You're not going to get a motorboat through it. It's hard enough just to get a kayak through it. So if you have water chestnut taking over the edges of your lake, then it's going to really limit recreational enjoyment of your lake in the summer. And that's just one of many aquatic invasive plants, unfortunately, that really limit recreation, especially right now in the summer when it's hot. Everybody wants to go swim in the lake.
Yeah. And I'm curious if you've heard from whether it's residents or farmers about how their lives have been impacted at all by these invasive species.
Yeah, usually it's residents. I work with a lot of lake associations that are either very concerned about the health of their lake, or they have had things like water chestnut, Eurasian water milfoil, European frogbit come in and, again, make recreation almost impossible, or their favorite fishing spot isn't as accessible. You can't even get a lure in through the frogbit. So a lot of the times they will reach out to us directly. There's also a fantastic community science app called IMAP Invasives. It's hosted by the New York Natural Heritage Program. And it's basically just a way for, like I said, we cover 3.3 million acres. So it's incredibly helpful if somebody sees something in their water that's new or on their land anywhere and they take a picture. It's uploaded. And then experts like myself and my terrestrial counterpart can take a look at it and say, no, that's just a native lookalike, or we can look at it and be like, oh, that's really concerning. We should go check that out. So that is an incredibly useful tool for us.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about how vast the area that you cover is. I mean, 3.3 million acres is a lot of land here. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what trends or patterns you've seen over the years about, you know, climate change specifically. Climate change is shifting our temperatures and our weather patterns. How has climate change impacted your work to control aquatic invasive species? Have you seen an increase or any trends change in the species over the years?
I can't really definitively say that we've seen any direct impacts from climate change here in the Catskills with working with invasive species yet. I will say it's been a bit of a weird year. We're not seeing what we're expecting to see at certain times of the year. Water chestnut seems to be a bit late this year. We're having issues with another floating invasive that we've been controlling called yellow floating heart. It's not growing, which is a good thing, but it's also concerning because I don't know why it's not doing this, if it's going to come back in full force next year, or I'm not entirely sure. And I can't necessarily say that's because of climate change, but like I said, it's been a bit of a weird year for plants. In the near future, within probably the next few decades, we are expecting to see invasive species and even native plants shift their ranges northward. As things warm. This also means longer growing period for a lot of our invasive species, which a lot of them start early and crowd out a lot of our native plants. Is why they're so successful, is they start like first thing in spring. They grow so much that nothing else can really grow around them or with them. Winters are not nearly as cold as they have been. So we've actually been seeing out in like Western New York, it's called water lettuce. It's a common water garden plant and aquarium plant. Usually the cold is enough to kill the plant itself and the seeds. However, with our milder winters, we're actually seeing the seeds persist through the winter, unfortunately. A lot of the lakes that I've been working on for years are not seeing any significant ice cover, which is having a whole host of effects on the ecology of the lake, unfortunately. It also means that only about 10% of non-native species do eventually become invasive species. However, as, again, conditions change, things warm, longer growing period, we might see more of those non-native species transition to becoming invasive, taking advantage of that.
I want to ask about a headline that has been really shaking the country over the last few days, specifically related to waterways. I've been thinking a lot about how our waterways can be quite deadly. We just saw in Central Texas last Friday, there was a devastating flash flood that killed more than 100 people, and there's still dozens that are missing at a summer camp. I'm curious, are flash floods becoming more common here in the Catskills? And two, how does that necessarily impact the work that you do with trying to prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species?
Yeah, so unfortunately, New York is expecting to see greatly increased rainfall as climate change progresses. This means heavier precipitation events. So we're going to, right now it's projected that we're going to go through periods of drought and then get a lot of rain, and then another drought and a lot of rain. And unfortunately, the drought reinforces that the water can't, or the ground can't soak up that water. It's so dry. Really, really dry ground does not allow the water to percolate into the ground table as if we had a consistent rain pattern where the soil is kept somewhat moist. So we are, it's expected to see more frequent and severe flooding, unfortunately, here in New York due to this change in precipitation patterns and overall increase in precipitation. And unfortunately, flooding is one way that aquatic invasive species spread to new water bodies, and in really unpredictable ways. It's hard to say where necessarily something might end up. A really good example are the invasive carp in the Mississippi watershed. So you have silver, big-headed, and black carp, sometimes kind of referred to as Asian carp, but some are from Europe. They're from all over the place. So they were originally kept in aquaculture facilities for control of algae or invertebrates like snails. And unfortunately, there was several flooding incidents that introduced them into the Mississippi watershed, where they are now thriving, and they are starting to, they've been steadily making their way towards the Great Lakes. And we've been spending billions of dollars to try to keep them out of the Great Lakes with varying levels of success, unfortunately. So thinking a little closer to home, goldfish and koi are also carp. And they are definitely an invasive species. They stir up the bottom. They eat a lot of our native plants, increase turbidity in our waters. And a lot of people keep them in their ponds, in their backyards. However, I mean, they seem pretty safe and contained. However, not a lot of people think about, what if there's a flood? I have a river 500 feet from my house where my pond is. All of a sudden, the flood happens and my goldfish are gone. And a lot of aquatic invasive plants have also started out as water garden ornamentals and escaped captivity, again, through flooding events.
Yeah, I think that you bring up such interesting points about we're seeing these national headlines play out in the last few days, but these have real local impacts and have already started. We've already started to see some of the impacts of flooding here in New York State. One other question I wanted to ask, since we're on the topic of what's happening nationally, the current Trump administration, we've seen cut billions of dollars to essential environmental and climate grant funding, a lot of which was previously allocated and approved and then ended up getting retracted, as well as cuts to EPA and FEMA funding. I'm curious about how that impacts your work at the Catskill Center and your work locally.
Luckily, much of our funding comes from the state, either from the Catskill Center, and then CRISP is directly funded by DEC. So a lot of our funding comes from the state level. We don't really have any federal grants, although we did just submit for a couple earlier this year. We'll see how that plays out. But unfortunately, several of our partner organizations have definitely been impacted by the changes in federal funding, either grants just disappearing or huge cutbacks in funding. And we work with them to do our work, either in managing aquatic invasive species or surveying for them. So this has indirectly impacted us in that we don't have, our partners aren't as able to focus on this as they have been previously. And I mean, we're all very concerned about what might happen in the future, especially as a nonprofit organization for the Catskill Center.
Yeah. How can people play their part in preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species here in the Catskills?
Yeah, so our main slogan is clean, drain, dry. New York State takes aquatic invasive species and terrestrial invasive species very seriously, which is great. The PRISM network is a framework for a lot of other states have started to adopt for invasive species management. And so New York State also has it's called a watercraft inspection program, where they staff stewards at a lot of our public launches and fishing accesses to help prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species. And so if anybody likes to enjoy the water, if they're out boating, kayaking, canoeing, even just swimming, remember that You have the potential to be transporting plants, microscopic invertebrates, between water bodies if you don't take your time and clean, drain, dry. Clean off any visible debris, mud, plants, could be harboring any sort of invertebrates or other organisms. Drain any standing water, because it just takes a tiny, like a cup of water, to be transporting quagga mussels to a new water body or fishhook water flea, anything like that. And then dry, if you can, in 5 full days of sun, which with how rainy this year's been, that's a little hard. But yeah, it just takes a minute of prevention to really save us down the line with having to deal with a lake full of hydrilla or snakehead or round goby or quagga mussels.
Yeah, super helpful tips, especially I think during the summertime. I've been chatting with Sarah Coney, Aquatic Invasive Species Manager at the Catskill Center. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
And that's our host, Kimberly Izar, Farm and Country. That great story on invasive species value, you were really paying attention to that.
Well, I was, because we have issues over on our little lake with invasives, as many of the lakes around here do.
Yeah.
And I pitched this story to Kim and connected her with Sarah Comey. And it takes a village to get it out there, and now we can share it and learn all how much it affects all of us locally.
Yeah, and you don't think about stuff like that, and so it's great to know more, learn more. Donna Fellenberg is here.
I'm so happy to on.
There you go. Can you hear you?
I
just need to pull it up a little bit.
Here,
yeah, there's a little knob for the volume on the headphones. There you
okay.
are.
Okay. I speak so softly.
You're so soft.
Do you
You're
really?
So soft-spoken.
That is so fantastic, Val. You did that.
Well, yeah. Listen, I knew she was a good resource, and she was.
And, you know, we're trying to just inform the community with as much information as we possibly can, as we always try to do. Farm and Country is one of those shows where we bring you a lot of the great look into the rural life of the community. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org is where you can donate to support that. Guess who supported us during that show, that clip that you just heard, that story you just heard?
Who?
Rosie Starr.
Oh, I figured.
Yes.
I should have said that.
Rosie, we love you. We miss you. We hope you're doing well. We hope to see you soon. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. Rosie is helping us with her donation and this challenge we have. It's the $1,000 Anonymous Challenge from Pennsylvania.
Yay.
Donna's neck of the woods. And Donna's going to be up next with a special edition, a special summer fun drive edition of Catskill Character, which is on at 10:30 on Saturdays
as
well.
Are you staying?
I'll stay.
Oh, good.
Oh, my goodness. We get like a whole like special guest star situation.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, it's going to be Catskill Character on Radio Catskill.
When I sit down for an interview, I'm thinking about you. I'm Mary Louise Kelly from NPR. Not every day, but on the best ones, journalists get to ask people in power questions and hold them to account. There is a reason that freedom of the press is enshrined in the Constitution. At home and abroad, leaders make choices that affect your life. Their impulses and decisions need to be examined in as thoughtful and rigorous an interview as possible. Now, journalists don't do this work to score political points. We do it in the service of asking tough questions on your behalf so you and the world can hear the answers, or lack thereof. That is both a privilege and a responsibility. When you donate to this NPR station, you support journalism that does not back down. Here is how to give and how to help public radio hold powerful people to account.
Donate now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. Morgan-Outdoors.com.
This station keeps you informed and keeps things in perspective.
Life is just one 10-minute experience after another. You don't want to underrate the power of these small little gestures.
I do believe that the universe is chaos and our role in it, which is, I think, the beauty and the agony of life, is to make sense of it.
We promise to keep helping you make sense of it all. Donate to this station today, and thank you.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming online at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.